tech we trust. It's the people in charge we're not sure about.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 112, 112, ciento y doce, whichever you want to call it. The Ricketron is back. And
you're a bad hombre.
I am a hombre malo, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And joining me is Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm superb. I'm getting ready for Turkey Day. I cleaned out the garage. I cleaned out my office. Somebody can actually sleep in my office without having to have dirt fall on them. And they probably can't access the things that I don't want them to access. So I'm ready for the holidays.
Well, two real important things caught me there, Mark. First of all, cleaning garage. That's fun.
Hey, man, I went to the e-waste place, you know. I had a car full of e-waste.
Yeah.
And, you know, now when you take your LCD screens to a place, you have to sign a piece of paper. And I'm expecting a government agent from California to call me up and say, did you buy that in California or something like that?
Interesting. Yeah. You know, it's actually interesting to see what options there are available for electronics recycling. And a lot of them are free. And actually, I'll be honest with you, I had quite a stash of, like, people handing me old servers and old UPSs and all that.
Did you rent a truck or something?
Well, no, I rented a trailer at one point. You know, we're talking like rackfuls of stuff.
What? No. So did you tell people you were going to recycle? Is this the thing or what happened there?
Well, I mean, there were some businesses that I, you know, helping out with, working on stuff. And along, you know, if you're in IT, you get access to the end of the supply chain, right, where there's no real additional value. Companies are in a situation where they'll pay to have something disposed of, right? So, or you could have somebody take it away. Either way, their problem goes away. And I just get a hold of this stuff. And I've stopped doing this for years, but this stuff has moved with me from place to place to place. And it's big. And I don't even turn it on anymore. So I kind of took it on myself. And at least in Ohio, I went to the ohiodropoff.com and I found all kinds of great electronics recycling options. And in fact, all of it was free. And then I went to a battery place. I was sending rack mount UPSs into that place. And, you know, I did the right thing. I think that was real important with all that stuff.
You had, like, rack mount UPSs, like, in your attic or garage or, like, storage shed or, like...
In my office, my home office is legally a bedroom. And in the closet is the quote-unquote data center. I've got a rack in there. And now it's down to just a telco rack, one server, three storage systems, and that's it. And some networking gear. So that's It's pretty light now. It used to be.
So you have clothes in there with it now, too?
No, I've got like all my badges from the events and stuff like that.
Oh, it's, yeah. Event lanyards.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. But it was ridiculous.
Do you have tchotchkes in there? Show tchotchkes?
Oh, yeah. I've got like a little Veeam museum of like swag through the years.
Yeah.
But
green things.
Yeah, green things. But the crazy part is like I have access to like a more proper lab at work. I don't really get into the home lab anymore. So all I do there is just the content filter virtual machine for the house, the nanny payroll application. I mean, it's legit stuff. My file server, that's what's running down there now. But I don't really need, you know, a three-host Hyper-V host cluster and a two-host cluster for VMware. I don't need all that going on in the basement anymore.
Dang.
Yeah. But
now you need a cloud. You need to put stuff in the attic so you can call it a cloud.
A cooling problem, but that's another sitch. So it's just us today, man. We had our colleagues skedoodle on us.
Everybody bailed.
Yeah, one of them was not a good excuse because it's not a holiday for Nigel, but whatever. We'll give him a pass.
Yeah, what the hell is with Nigel?
You know, he's a busy guy. He's like a celebrity now. He's probably got to go sign Pluralsight course, you know, CD copies, you know, the covers and all that.
Yeah, and you think he's hanging out, like, in some virtual bookstore, you know, handing out his digital signature?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and then Gabriel was going to be on. We don't know what happened to him.
Gabe's
like flaking.
Gabe had a rough stretch, man. I've seen his like his Facebook, you know, the travel profiles and stuff, and I did too. I think it's been 3 or 4 weeks since I've been on. I went, I had a great week at Microsoft MVP Summit. I had a Work Matter in Atlanta. I had something, and then I had something.
Something leaves something. There was a Billy Preston song like about that many years ago.
It's been a rough go.
And then Lauren is helping her significant other sell her car.
Well, it's probably more around like she's practicing her jokes. That's what she's telling us as she's doing. She's going to joke school.
Selling a car, right? I mean, what's more important, selling your car or being on Integrity Trust podcast?
I'm telling you, it's a cover, Mark. She's going to the joke school or something because she's getting that wit that people are liking on our feedback from Twitter. So
yeah, I know. Hey, so I'm drinking a beer right now that I wanted to talk about. It's called Belching Beaver Hop Highway IPA 78. And it's quite good.
That sounds amazing. I would give that a try.
Yeah, Belching Beaver. It's from down San Diego way, somewhere inland. And as the can says, there was a highway that runs through Vista. And it's where all the old breweries were, North County breweries in San Diego County. Hop Highway is what they call it.
And, you know, this sounds like a microbrew, right? It's not a huge one, right?
It's a microbrew. But the thing I can't figure out is, like, beaver, really? Has there ever been a freaking beaver anywhere close to San Diego? I can believe otters, like sea otters. And, you know, I can believe other creatures like bears. But beavers? I mean, is there water down there for beavers even?
There's no such thing as a California beaver. There's got to be a story like
that. Well, I think there is, but that's a different thing.
Yeah, it's probably something like the brewmasters are from Wisconsin or something, and they've relocated or the like.
Yeah, that seems plausible.
Yeah,
it's come around. You get up in Northern California, if you go by Tahoe, and you know there's a lot of streams and whatnot in the mountains up there. There must be beavers on some of those mountain streams up there. There have to be beavers, beaver dams and stuff.
I'm Googling California mountain beavers. Is there such a thing? Look at that, the Cascade Mountains, but that's up in Canada.
Cascades are they're north of the Sierra. Did it say Canada?
The mountain beaver is a North American rodent, and on the map it has a little slice, not quite to Los Angeles County, but if you're up in NorCal, you go up over the mountains and then you come back down, like south of Lake Tahoe and all that, almost. That diagonal line of Nevada, it goes down a good stretch of that as beaver country. So,
Go ahead.
That's an interesting part of California. Coming down from the mountain on that diagonal line with Nevada.
Is. Yeah, the east slope of the mountains. Yeah,
east slope. Yeah, that's probably a better name for it. Like, there's I found out that some of the small cities there, like their high schools, play football and sports in Nevada, and I drove by one miscellaneous town in California, Caliville City, California High School, and it was Nevada Class A football championship. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, that's so great. A California school winning the Nevada State Championship.
Yeah, because
they just have to hate us, man.
In the winter, they can't cross the pass, and that's why.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, there is a trail of towns over there, you know, Bishop and places that look like Twin Peaks but aren't.
Yeah, I think the one I'm thinking of,
Mammoth is over there.
Bridgeport, Colville, Markleyville. That's kind of where I'm talking. Yeah. Lundy, Lee Vining at the foot of Yosemite.
Yeah.
That's actually good country over there, by the way, friends.
It is actually, and a really fun thing to do is to take a rental car and drive around and just bomb around those roads between the California and Nevada border. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, really fun. Do it in a rental car though. Don't do it in your own.
Yeah, don't let your gas get under half full because you'll get stuck in these bumble flip little cities charging like 2 and 3 times the price of fuel.
And you will have 2 million dead bugs encrusted on the front of your car.
That's true.
Because they have bugs over there. We don't have them.
They got real bugs too.
Yeah, that's what the belching beavers are probably eating, is bugs.
I'm telling you, I would always go for the belching beaver. That sounds good, man.
When you go far enough south, I know this is not about technology, but you're going far enough south along that road, and then you go east from there, you end up in Death Valley, which is
really exactly
cool stuff.
Cool. Well, hey, enjoy the beer. I'm working on my tap water at this time. I'm still in the office.
Oh, okay.
I'm going crazy here.
Yeah.
We actually do have some news this week to go through.
Dang.
Yeah, we actually got some work to do, of which everyone – when we – by the way, for the listeners, we put in a topic and then assign a lead to talk about it, of which all the leads of proposed topics have bailed on us. So Mark and I are going what we call double raw here tonight.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. Yeah,
do you want to talk about any of the stuff they brought up? I mean, some of it looks interesting, but it's like it's – not my thing.
Let's just say that those will go quick. The first thing is, and this is one from me, so I actually am able to talk about this, about Brexploitation price hike from VMware in the UK. We'll talk about that. Oracle acquired DIN, the DNS provider. Wikibon invokes the predictions. That might be really, really quick. Amazon dominates the public infrastructure as a service ahead of platform as a service. And that's where I start to yawn when you have too many asses in a title.
There's a lot of asses there.
A lot of asses in there. And then the IRS attempts to obtain a copy of every U.S. Coinbase Bitcoin customer. Okay, we'll talk about that. Yeah.
And then
lastly,
we have a hot or not.
Yeah, hot or not for the
– No. Don't go there yet. Don't say what it is.
Hot or not.
Yeah, we'll be hot or not.
Bleep ourselves. So let's pick on Nigel since he's not here on his country. So VMware is dropping a modest price increase on 1st of January for the UK market. You know, part of it wants to blame it on Brexit, but another thing is you could blame it on the currency situation. It's pretty clear that currency is taking a fast one, and it actually is a great deal if you want to visit the UK right now.
I'm going. I'm going next week. I'll be there.
There you go. I just did a XE check here, and one U.S. dollar to a pound. What do you think it is right now?
One U.S. dollar to a pound?
Mm-hmm.
It's worth about what, 90% of a pound?
Not quite that good, but it's 80% of a pound.
80% of a pound. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, to put it in perspective, 1st of January of this year, it was, I'm looking at the chart here, it was about 67 cents or 67 pence to a US dollar. So okay. 13 U.S. or 13 pence, a slice of a pound difference just between there with the worst of it coming right after Brexit, and a big move right there. And then it's actually gotten better. In fact, in October, there was a point where it was like 82 pence to a dollar. So pretty good shape. And, you know, given current situations with the currency, right, it's, you know, any organization, VMware's one, my place is as well, what they call constant currency. You got to think about these types of things, and like the euro as well. What do you think the euro is at right now?
Oh God, I need a computer for this.
I'm at a computer.
Where is my computer?
Yes, we're recording this on Rod and Reel, guys. We don't have an actual computer recording, but
I don't know. I haven't been staying on top of the euro at all.
94 euro cents to a dollar.
Yeah.
Which is actually good as well. I'm just looking at the chart here, picking a date on May of this year. It was like 87 euro cents to a dollar. So, yeah. I know, in the U.S. dollar side, we're doing okay. But when you see these news that VMware are dropping in, that is very much related to the currency situation. So, interesting stuff.
They're not just like gouging them just for joy.
Yeah, just because of Brexit or just because
– just pure joy.
Yeah. So apparently, again, quoting the Register here with this article, all hardware vendors have done the same, especially hardware, for crying out loud, right? You're gonna be dealing with import taxes, and that's – you know, if you got a fast one from the currency, that's going to hit right to margin. So that's kind of a big deal, I think.
So it's not like the prescription drug manufacturers, it's just they just screw you whenever they can.
Well, that's a good point. What about the mafia? Are they going to like raise rates too? I don't know. And like organized crime, how does you know?
I'm thinking the mafia raises rates first, and then corporations follow suit.
It's got to be.
So it's probably already happened. The squeeze has to already be in or
interesting.
On.
Interesting. What's it that's got to be the way. Got to be the way it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I don't want to pick on VMware. It's just that was in my news summary for the week. But like I said, others have done it. Let's see here. Apple, Lenovo. Is it Asus or Asus? I don't know.
Asus.
Asus, okay.
I think we should just call them Asus.
I thought it
I have an Asus motherboard in my machine.
Well, you don't like that machine, so maybe that's why.
You know what, though? No, here's the saga, though, right? I like my machine a lot better because I finally decided to just roll the mother back, right? So I'm up running Windows 7 again, and I am such a happy guy. Went totally retro. You know, the thing was just, it was laboring under Windows 10. It wouldn't work. I put in an SSD. You know, I don't know if you heard the show last week or not, Rick, but made all kinds of, you know, adjustments to the machine and whatnot. It was unstable. And when I put the SSD in, it was even less stable. So I just said, screw it. I'm putting a hard drive back in. And I went clean Windows 7. And you know what's interesting, right? I don't know if you remember back in the day, right? When you did a clean install of a new OS, how freaking fast it is.
Oh, yeah.
Just fast. This was an old, you know, this is a hard drive. All of a sudden, I've got a Windows 7 machine. It's freaking great. I don't have Skype. I don't have to turn freaking Skype off. I don't have a stupid freaking Edge browser. You know, I just turned off Internet Explorer. I don't have much Microsoft stuff on here. Things completely unbloated. It runs great. I'm just f-ing happy. I don't have to deal with Windows Defender, Windows Firewall turning on and off when they think something else isn't there. Oh, it's just, I'm in control again. I'm like a pig in shit. I can't believe
I'm happy. I'm so happy for you, Mark.
Yeah.
You were having a real rough go with that computer.
Windows 10 just sucked, right? I know most everybody has a good experience with it, but when you go online and you start looking for, you know, people complaining about Windows 10, you know, there's a bunch of people out there where for one reason or another, it just doesn't work, right? And Microsoft could give a shit about somebody who has problems with Windows 10. It's like, you know what? If you're having problems with Windows 10, we hope you do something else. So I did. I went back to Windows 7.
Interesting.
And yeah. And, you know, there's all kinds of interesting things that go on when you do that, right? It's just like a walk in the past. So all kinds of compatibility things start showing up. I thought, well, heck, if I'm going to go retro, I'm going to go way retro. And I'm going to put in an old DigiDesign music workstation thing. What was it? Pro Tools. You know, while Pro Tools couldn't work because it didn't have this, that, or the other thing, I tried downloading software and it was asking for .NET Framework 1.1. Well, my machine had like .NET Framework 4.5, but the software wouldn't load because I couldn't load 1.1 because I already had a higher level and all kinds of interesting weird crap like that. I put on iTunes, right? I put on a new version of iTunes. I hated the way it looked. So I said, shit, I'm going to go retro on iTunes too, right? So I went to find an old download of iTunes. And when I did, after putting the new one on, it wouldn't install, right?
Weird.
And this is really interesting. So I thought, what do you mean? I went in, I uninstalled old Windows and or the new Windows. I'm trying to install old Windows. I had to go in. And so after uninstalling iTunes, I should say, when I uninstalled iTunes, I then went into the registry and I searched on iTunes and I must have deleted like over 200 entries for iTunes from the registry.
Weird.
This is after uninstalling all Apple software on the product. Right. And, you know, some of it is like it's file associations and all this kind of stuff. And, I then searched the file system for anything having to do with iTunes. I found stuff and I deleted it. And after deleting iTunes from my registry and deleting everything from my file system, I could install old iTunes again. And you know what? It sucked just as bad this time. I know this is a rant and people maybe don't want to hear this rant. I hate freaking iTunes. I hate Windows 10. Now I don't have either one and I'm a much happier guy. Cause after installing the old iTunes, I just said, why did I want this? This sucked. Right.
Well, so, I had an iTunes little situation cause my daughter's iPod broke, new iPod. Yeah. But we had the old iPod and I mean Gen 1 from like 2004.
Oh yeah.
Or 2006. And that was really good hardware.
Was it like 160, you know, gig iPod?
I don't remember, but we never filled it up then and we're not filling it up now, but it had the backlight gray screen, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But I had a real doozy of a time updating the software for it. So I still have the box and it came with a CD at the time.
Uh-huh.
So I used that iTunes, and it knew to pull the newest firmware from the internet, but I actually got the, you know, 12-year-old iPod all up to date, latest and greatest, so I've had some of that for my daughter as well.
Yeah.
Crazy talk.
Yeah, so I'm totally retro now, and it's freaking great. I'm loving it. I've got a laptop that's a little more up to date, although that one is still running. No, it's not. It's still running Windows 7. I kept one machine back just in case Windows 10 didn't work. I guess that was the thing. And I updated my desktop, and I just hated it. So now I'm back on Windows 7. I know, yeah, I've probably got, you know, bugs of all sorts crawling all over the inside of it, but whatever.
Interesting news from – I'm going to try to be the register for a second. Datazilla, right, from Oracle. Weird timing too. Monday of this week, and then in the U.S., this is a holiday week with the Thanksgiving holiday. Actually, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, by the way, because it's like not a religious holiday. So you can actually with confidence go up to someone and just say, Happy Thanksgiving, and it's all good. But anyways, Oracle has acquired Dinner. How do you say that? D-Y-N?
I think it must be Dine.
I'm thinking dinner. I'm hungry. Dine. But anyways, Oracle has acquired the DNS provider of DIN, because I'm thinking of Dynamic, but I guess that would be Dyn. So Dyn. But they were made popular in October of this year for a massive distributed denial of service attack. And hard to get the finite number. I guess we'll need some sort of like filing at some point because Oracle's public and that'll make it pretty clear. But according to this TechCrunch article, it's somewhere north of $600 million, which is not a huge amount of money, honestly. But I don't know. It's kind of interesting that Oracle is getting something like that, and I have a suspicion of why that they would get something like that.
You know, I have no suspicions about why they would do it. I just think they're freaking nuts. Why do you think they did it?
How stupid
can this be?
That Dark Horse Cloud. I'm telling you, they're building what they need. I think that's what it is. It's for their cloud. You know, the internet side of it, I think that's why they're doing it.
You think they're going to do a private network instead of, like, well, you know, this internet thing isn't really working out. We're going to make our own network.
It's free to use, but you pay for support. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But I just think it's related to their cloud strategy. You know, think of like things like dynamic provisioning. There might be a use case for services like this that can go hybrid public-private internets, you know, latching on to on-premises name resolution. Name resolution is a big deal still, period, especially with legacy apps. Cloud-native apps have it as well. So I think if we're taking some vision forward, that's just my personal speculation. The article in TechCrunch doesn't say anything about it except picking on them for the distributed denial of service attack. I think it's kind of paving the way for some next-gen Oracle Cloud stuff. That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, this guy Thomas Kurian, I'm reading the article, and he's got this quote here. You know, this is kind of a laughable section. Oracle already offers enterprise-class IS and PaaS for companies building and running internet. Yeah. I guess they do. I guess, you know, I shouldn't laugh at that. They do. At least he's not trying to say that they're first in the network or anything like that.
Well, he's just got too much ass in that sentence, I'm telling you.
He's
I don't
got
like
a lot
it.
Of ass going.
That's
yeah.
Too much ass as a service in the line, if you ask me, but that's just me.
So apparently this technology, you know, it's a quote again, monitors, controls, and optimizes internet applications and cloud services to deliver faster access, reduce page load times, and higher-end user satisfaction. So if it's just juice, like if it's steroids for their cloud, it would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's like a drug dealer. So yeah you got to have a drug dealer to make it work. So next thing on our list here is that Wikibon's tech predictions, and I almost want to give Gabe some crap here. So we got to read this. That luckily it's a short list. Hopefully he's picking it out as bad, but that sounds like something Gabe would do. So Wikibon, this was in the Register and the Old Gods to make six predictions here. Real quick, here's a prediction that AWS will introduce server SAN storage system for enterprises. Well, they've already announced a partnership with VMware running vSAN, so I think they're
I think that one's like cats out of the bag there.
Yeah, number – and this is actually timestamped after that announcement, which is very interesting. Number two, introduction of volume ARM-based servers. So that is a non-x86 compute. Interesting.
Yep. If you want to go cheap.
Yeah, that's true.
Cheap, so, rent so it like
yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah. Number three, big data MapReduce functionality inside flash drives. Okay, so that's existing services on faster storage. Okay.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, why is that? I mean, why is that even a thing?
Yeah, maybe there's a market for it.
You know, I think the deal there, right, is that, you know, you've got a lot of nodes, and you know, you process through, you know, hundreds or thousands of nodes that have the information on it, and it bubbles up, you know, to respond to a query. And so, you know, if you're going to do, you know, big node, this big scale out, you know, if you will, Google type scale out, they're just going to do it on flash. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? I think it's not a thing.
I don't think it's a big thing, even if it is a thing.
I don't think it's a thing, even. I mean, yeah. It's kind of like, oh, okay, so you change the storage behind it? That's not a thing.
No, yeah, that's just what you do if you do it, you know? So then there's this number four on this list, and Open Power with something CAPI and NVIDIA GPUs will radically outperform x86 for big data and AI computing. Well, of course they will, because that new processors on those other platforms are superior.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with the, you know, NVIDIA GPU stuff, but what's Open Power and CAPI?
Wikibon CTO sees Open CAPI, its CPU memory I/O adapter interconnect scheme, as a game changer. So it must be a hardware component for the NVIDIA GPUs. So I might even be wrong, friends, but again, that's just more appropriately sized hardware for workloads. Another chapter of Captain Obvious. I think I know where Gabe was going with this. Number five.
This was getting to Captain Obvious,
Dan? I think so. Number five, steep decline of hard drives being shipped. Wow. I don't know about that.
I don't know, man. I think retro is going to be in. I think everybody's just going to say, "F this. I'm going back to software that's 10 years old that doesn't need all this crap." I think the whole industry is going to take a reverse course and go backwards. Not.
No.
You know,
I think steep decline of hard drive shipped might be a bad number, but I think as a percentage of all storage units, I think it's going to go down. I think there's still going to be a lot of rotational storage built, sold, and installed. Non-rotational storage, of course, is going to go up, especially now that the capacity is so high for SSDs and the like. But I still think there's going to be a very large amount, because data is growing. And then if you think about the archives and backups, I kind of question that, but we'll see.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about that is what the cost of this stuff is going to be, right? At some point, if everything made from flash becomes rare because there's so much demand for it, then the price will go up. Should, you know, because right now it's not very expensive. The prices come down. But it's like, for all the storage that needs to be sold, you can't manufacture enough flash to take it all in.
Right? That's true.
There's not enough flash being made. Right? Is it off? Can the flash manufacturers, you know, manufacture enough to take 20% of the capacity required? Is it 30%? Whatever it is, it's not 100%. So, you know, yeah, disk drives will fall off because everybody wants flash. And, you know, people are figuring out how to use it. But there's just not enough of it being made.
Yeah. And all it takes is a new iPhone to skew the market. And then X Point will stall. Now, I'm not familiar with X Point.
Oh, it's the 3D Crosspoint. It's the Intel new non-volatile memory, you know, that sits on, and, you know, it's NVMe capable stuff, and it's not flash, and it's not DRAM, right? It's this new mystery stuff. It's the stuff that they're developing, you know, in conjunction with Micron. You know, Micron is the secondary source for this stuff, supposedly. And it's a big mystery, you know. It's supposedly not phase change memory, but it's, you know, what is it? Nobody seems to know.
Well, it's one thing if it's an emerging technology, right? But then there's got to be a need, a use case, a market, a workload that really needs that to make it take off. So I am taking it that Gabe was going Captain Obvious with some of these predictions. But
yeah, well, the 3D Crosspoint one is actually really interesting. Intel spurred all kinds of activity in the memory and chip business, because the idea here is that this stuff sits on the memory bus, that it's extremely low latency, right? Mm. So it's an order of magnitude slower than DRAM, but it's like five orders of magnitude faster than, you know, most other storage. So the idea is it's just really, really fast, or I should say low latency mass storage. And the idea is that if it takes off, it will radically change everything. And so, you know, all the work that's being done with the NVMe bus and NVMe over fabric and whatnot, the idea that you would have this just super fast, low latency, you know, non-rotating, you know, technology is a really big deal. But whether or not, and so Samsung and everybody that competes with Intel's working like crazy on alternatives, Toshiba, you know, because Intel went out and they did this thing with Micron. And, you know, so who else makes flash, and who else makes, you know, memory? Well, you look at, you know, the biggest manufacturer in the world, Samsung, you know, and Toshiba's still in the game, right? And so they're trying to figure out other ways to do things with flash that will be maybe not as fast, but, you know, close to it. And so what's happening is this massive amount of investment and R&D now into low latency, non-volatile memories. And so if 3D Crosspoint doesn't make it, something else probably will. And it really is, you know, and a lot of people have said it'll be a game changer if they can get it done. I believe it will be a huge game changer for this industry if they can get it done. You know, you won't have to have like in-memory database anymore, because you'll just run it on this stuff, mm-hmm. right? And I say, well, it won't be as fast as memory. Yeah, but it'll be five times, you know, it'll be 500 times, 1,000 times, whatever, faster than whatever you have for storage right now.
That's pretty attractive. And then, you know, I think, you know, within a year in the scope of a prediction, maybe it's just early, but it might stall for now, but it might not go away. I think that's the takeaway.
Well, you know, you've only got so much time to get new tech out. And the thing is, right, once you make a step, and then every competitor that's, you know, especially Samsung is a fierce competitor in this business, you know, and they will throw as much resource at this as they have to if they think they need to compete with Intel. You know, and this has gone on before in the storage business, right? And somebody's tried to go out in a direction, and it's been a bold move, and it got replaced by something else, right? That's where Fibre Channel's at. I think we've talked about that some before on the show, but, you know, it was serial storage, whatever it was, IBM was doing SSA, serial storage architecture. Right. And everybody in the disk drive business, especially Seagate, said, oh, this is going to be a bitch. And IBM was wanting to license it and get an arm and a leg for licensing the technology. And the whole rest of the industry did an end around and figured out how to take Fibre Channel, which was a fabric, a switched network infrastructure. And they built this thing called arbitrated loop, so it would look like SCSI and behave like disk drives did. And even though arbitrated loop doesn't exist anymore, it allowed the rest of the industry to come and compete on a lesser level than SSA. But because there were so many people doing it, it became the new de facto standard in the industry. And SSA then was dead in the water. So everybody that competes with Intel on high speed, low latency, non-volatile memories is getting ready to do something different. And if Crosspoint doesn't make it, Crosspoint will probably die as these competitive products take the market. Even though they're not as good, not as fast, not as big or whatever as Crosspoint, it's like, man, you've got so much time. And if you don't cross the finish line, kaput, you're done.
Interesting. I think you're right. And, there's one of those, this is that, press that, I don't want to say the pressure of innovation. This is probably one area, like the frontier is this space right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Intel, Intel's got to figure out where else their business is going to come from, right? With virtualization, and now you know, their chips are so blasted powerful. Oh, run 100 servers on a single chip. Great. Well, how many chips are you going to sell? You know, so eventually it gets back to them. And, you know, the crush of virtualization and containers and all this, the efficiency of software is getting to be so good, you don't need as many chips. And now look at Amazon coming out with low-cost ARM chips. And you say, well, you know, how many systems do you need? Well, my processes are such, actually, that a whole lot of ARM chips can do the same thing for a lot less money than a whole lot of Intel chips or a smaller number of Intel chips, and it costs less. Right?
And so, on cloud scale, that makes a huge difference. You know, it's one thing to have 23% wasted compute power for one workload, but if you have 1,000, now you're talking.
Yeah, you know, and you get used to this idea that companies like Intel, you know, won't go away because they'll just keep making their stuff. Well, they can die from attrition too, right? You know, we're in a capitalist society here still. You have to grow. Well, where's Intel's growth going to come from if in fact it's core business is being flattened out by the pressures of, you know, containerization, virtualization, cloudization, you name it. All of a sudden it's like, dang, Intel is no longer the juggernaut that it used to be. So they need to invest in new technologies like 3D XPoint, and they've invested a lot in it. And geez, if it doesn't work, you know, then what else are they going to do? You know, cameras, you know, video cards, you know, there's no room for any of this shit.
Yeah, fact. Well, interesting. Let's move on to the next point that was shared again by Gabriel. This one is a let's just talk about a picture from the Synergy Research Group, which is an analyst of sort group. Cloud market leadership, and it just says, again, Captain Obvious, that Amazon dominates the public cloud infrastructure as a service and ahead in the platform as a service space, and IBM leads in the private cloud, which is interesting. Managed private cloud, that's the big qualifier, so global services. But I'm looking at this picture here. Let's just take the one that we all kind of like and agree on, and that's infrastructure as a service in the public cloud. They have this chart here with market share. About 50% of the market is Amazon, and then Microsoft, Google, and IBM combined are less than 20%. But I think you're going to see Microsoft grow. Azure has been on a tear. They've built it out worldwide, and now they're ready to go in, you know, to really take market share away from Amazon. But I think it's interesting how, at least from this perspective here, how powerful Amazon is compared to those next three biggest competitors.
Yeah, I don't know why this is posted, because it's actually not news at all. I mean, it's kind of the obvious thing. It's what we
The fact that the number, that's the only part I found interesting, that their perspective on public IaaS has Amazon about 50% of the market, everybody else at 18. I thought that was a pretty big deal. That is what I mean by we might move quick through some of these. And another thing and another thing from Gabe as well is from SiliconANGLE. The title is that the IRS attempts to obtain a copy of every U.S. Coinbase Bitcoin customer. Ooh, interesting. Now, I'll be honest with you, Mark. I have not got into the Bitcoin thing at all. I don't even understand it, other than it's a virtual currency of compute cycles, and that's probably not even a right definition.
I think I'm too old for Bitcoin.
Yeah, I need the young kids like Gabe, who's, by the way, older than me, to come on and explain this sometime. We'll have to see if he has a strong opinion on that. So,
but I don't know if he would disclose that he's a user, because then the IRS would know, and they'd go after his shit.
I know a guy who got into it.
Don't name names, though, because the IRS will find out. The IRS is listening to this podcast, I'm quite sure.
Oh, really? All of our listeners go? Yeah, they do have a lot.
Yeah, because they're trying to keep up. They're trying to keep up on Lauren's wealth.
That's true. There's a real big cluster in Northern Virginia on our hit map.
Yeah, Lauren's selling a car, IRS. So go after that too.
Yeah, there you go.
I wonder if they're doing it on a Bitcoin deal.
I will buy your car for a Bitcoin. Well, you know, ransomware deals in Bitcoin.
I suppose it does, yeah.
Sometimes. So I think maybe – it's, again, the drugs. What do you learn from fighting drugs, right? Don't follow the drugs. Follow the money, right? So when we're talking about ransomware, maybe they're going with something analogous to that. Getting drugs on the table is one thing, but getting the money on the table is another. So maybe in the Bitcoin sense, when the ransomware phenomena, they're going to follow the money.
Wow. You just blew my mind.
But isn't it true? I tell you, you can find a lot of good analogies from the drug industry, illegal drug industry. Not that I'm an expert in it, but things like following the money to fight it, right? And
yeah.
I think this example here with Bitcoin, I think that's where they're at.
They're following the money. But are they following the money just for the Bitcoin drug or for real drugs? Or are they trying, well, or do they think terrorism is, well, it's, this is not like somebody going after terrorists and terrorist Bitcoin.
No, I think ransomware Bitcoin is the most obvious candidate. But we'll have to see. I mean, that's all speculatory. But I think that this area is a little bit too uncomfortably anonymous for me, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
The Bitcoin space.
Well, I suppose there could be not that it's a black market, but it's like a black economy, you know, like Bitcoin is, it's an economy that's invisible to the IRS.
Right. And that might be part of it too, to get a tax latch.
You and I are obviously not hanging out with the right peeps because we should be tax dodging using Bitcoin.
That would be awesome. Or would it not? I don't know. I just got to get my head.
I mean, the
it.
Problem is, it's a business, right? If you pay for things with Bitcoin, then can you expense them?
There was a, I thought I saw. Hold on. Google as fast as I can.
Can you buy Facebook stock with Bitcoin?
No. Check this out. You can actually pay at Dell.com with Bitcoin. I remember there was a big stink about that.
Yeah, but can you expense it? Can you depreciate an asset that you bought with Bitcoin?
I don't know. I don't know. Interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm old. I'm showing my age, bro.
We're both old.
Yeah.
But at least we asked some questions about that shit.
Yeah, maybe next time we'll actually, you know, get Gabe on to talk about it. You want to move over to our
hot or not
final track of hot or not. And yeah, we better wrap it up with something good and funny, or else we're heading in the downward direction on those ratings, by the way. And by the way, for the listeners, share the podcast, man. We have fun with this. Hopefully you do too.
Or maybe not share this one.
Or maybe not. Let's see.
Whatever.
Let's
see. You know, Rick, we won't know till you edit it.
That's true. You know, we might put some funny noises in there or something. Two things. The topic is bendable screens. And whether it be, you know, Samsung, like you mentioned earlier, they're a big juggernaut, especially in mobile. I saw on Twitter today that even Apple has hinted yet again to a bendable screen. Hot or not, mobile device bendable screen, Mark.
Not hot. What I want is a bendable camera that will like take pictures around a corner and stuff. That's what I want. I mean, a bendable screen, right? What, so I'm going to have like a rubber phone instead of a hard phone? I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I think they're trying to add a feature that people will think is cool, but I have never once thought that I wanted to unfold my phone screen. That, you know, somehow this thing that's in my hand that fits in the palm of my hand, that somehow I would be like opening it up so I could look at it bigger. I mean, shoot. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not getting that. People on trains, you know, people are packed in, you know, they got their phones in their laps. It's like, oh yeah, wait a minute. I'm going to unfold my screen. Meanwhile, you know, somebody else knee hits it, you know, what the hell on an airplane? You know, it's already, you know, these phablets are already almost too big. You know, you got to, Where are you going to tuck your elbows into your belly button, you know, and try to unfold the phone? I don't get it. I think it's stupid. I think it's a feature that will bomb. I hope they make it and bomb. There you go. That's the curmudgeon in me. That's the curmudgeon. That's like go ahead, Samsung. Come out with a folding screen, and I don't care if it doesn't burn or not. I hope it just fails. You know, it's the new Note 10. You know, it's now as big as a 55-inch, you know, LCD screen. You know, no, nobody wants that.
Okay. You got an opinion. I got that. I look at the bendable screen as hot in the third iteration, the third generation. It's not going to be hot the first pass.
Let me explain.
I am thinking ahead. We're heading down a path of convergence where the number of devices people need to carry is going down, whether it be one phone, one tablet, and that's it, or a computer and phone only, or whatever. But we're right at the edge where the phone, the phablet, whatever you want to call it, can't quite do it all, I think, for the mobile person that's like living a life and working on the go and all that. Where I think that this technology is going is to really give you the full screen resolution you need, because the moment it folds once, it eventually folds twice and three times or whatever. And that's why I'm looking to the future generations, because what's going to really suck on the first iteration is the seam, the fold line, right? And then what's going to suck eventually is how it would look to the third screen, and then the battery, right? Think of the battery when you're doubling your screen real estate. That's going to be no bueno. So as it goes, you know, and then also here's the twist.
People will be carrying like car batteries around with them. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, then you need a biometric charger.
Just huge incendiary devices. It's like your phone doesn't burn up anymore, but the thing on your back, you know, blows up.
Yeah, your backpack. Yeah. Actually, we'll be back to the way cell phones were, those bags with the big ass batteries. Remember that?
Yeah.
But actually, what I need is like a USB port, like right in my arm.
The Pretty Woman phone.
That, you know, just burns fat and converts it right to like energy. That would probably.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
But,
Rick, I mean, what is your phone not doing for you now? I'm just curious. Right. Like, or, you know, you got a Surface.
I do have
a Surface. You're famous for that. Do you want a bigger screen for your Surface or?
No, it's fine. The one thing my Surface doesn't do is run bigger apps well, because I run a smaller one. But my phone, you know, surface area would be nice. You know, much like working at a PC and you fancy the dual monitor experience, apps would change with a foldable screen so that you would have a dual screen experience, triple screen experience, extended screen experience, whatever. So I think that the ecosystem's going to have to play around. Batteries are going to have to get better. The hardware is going to seem it better. The apps will respond to this new capability.
People are going to have to grow like long thumbs, right? Because, you know, you see all these people and they're holding their phone in one hand and they're doing everything with their thumb. Well, if the screen gets big, they won't be able to reach all their shit. And they're going to need like thumb extensions or like six finger or, you know, that kind of thing, right? You know, they're going to have to operate their phone with two hands with a big screen.
Possibly. But then it sounds crazy. But what if Apple gets a hold of it? Now, I personally don't like iOS devices, but one thing I just cannot.
Well, maybe it'll be like the Apple Watch then.
Maybe. But the thing is, Apple makes really good hardware. They always have. They got that design really good. So take this bendable screen technology, take that, take a couple generations. I actually think it'll eventually be hot, but I will never jump on it at 1.0. That's where I'm at with it.
I mean, if they come out with bendable screens, I'm going to have to like put a flag in the ground and say, this is my retro point. I always want, like, I've already got a curved screen, and that's a pain in the ass enough, right? I've got the G4, the LG G4 that is a curved screen. And, it was... What a stupid thing, right? And if somebody could say, oh, the curved screen's the greatest thing on earth. No, it's not. It sucks. No. And you can't get a case for it and a screen protector and all that stuff. And you can. You get the soft ones that don't work very well. But it's just, you know, really I know I already said it, and I should give you space because you like it. And you might be right, Rick. I mean, you know that 1.0 is going to really suck. It'll break a lot. And there'll be, you know, a lot of warranty issues. And, you know, people will be beating each other up over it, you know, but maybe by the fourth or fifth generation, it'll be, you know, business as usual. Maybe there won't be tablets anymore. Maybe everything will just be a phone, and the phone will expand to become a tablet.
I envision, and I don't remember, what was it called? Not the Rubik's Cube, but what was that flat thing that they had? What was that the Rubik flat. Is that what it's called?
Boy.
Rubik's Magic. Remember that thing?
No.
It was 8 squares with a diagonal set of plastic, like fishing line or high tension line, and it had 3 rings, in like a colorful ring, like a 0, I guess, and it is a puzzle much like a Rubik's Cube. I see in the future your advanced technology around bendable screens, something like that, where And it also might be separate from a phone, first of all. So you might have your phone that's a single screen experience like we have now. But imagine pulling out this Rubik's Magic thing, and Google the Rubik's Magic. You might remember it, by the way. But imagine some foldable thing like this, and that is an additional screen that just flip, 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 flip. It, you know, it goes down as small as a regular phone, but then you can extend it out, and it's basically you know, an 11-inch additional screen or something like that, and it pairs over an advanced wireless technology and has its own battery and touch and seamless integration between the main screen and the additional screens. That's what I see, because basically a dumb display device. Did you see that Rubik's Magic? You remember that thing?
No, and I'm not looking it up. I'll have to do it afterwards. But, you know, so there will be a new interconnect. Instead of Bluetooth, it'll be like red gums or something by then.
Yeah, something like that, you know, and it would be it
connects by red gums.
Yeah, and I put it in the Slack if you just because I really okay. I'm like, take me back to like 1980 something here with this thing. But this was a lot of fun, but I remember that.
You know, why don't we just go right to a holographic, you know, projection, right? I mean, come on. You know, why do we need foldable screens? I want holograms, you know. I want to be able to work like Tom Cruise in Minority Report. Although I never want to be like Tom Cruise in any way, but, you know, you just stand there in front of the screen and move things around and touch them, you know. Maybe this stuff will allow that. You know,
or like the projector in R2-D2, even way back in the day, right?
Yeah, holographic stuff, right?
The resolution, though, on a modern screen is pretty tight. So the holographics, we don't have light projectile, much less on any surface that good yet. So
I see it there. Yeah, you updated. Yeah, Rubik's Magic. Dang. Oh,
that thing was fun. Yeah. Anyways.
I'm so far behind.
That's, by the way, quite old, so you don't need to...
I have to go retro again.
If you're behind on that, Mark, you're really behind. So.
Gotta go retro even more.
Yeah. Well, hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Be sure to tweet at us and make us laugh.